Hi, this is Alonzo, and I want to welcome you to episode 225 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Thank you. Thank you for listening, as always. Thank you for downloading, tuning in, etc., etc. I know I'm sporadic, but you're here, and that's what really counts. So we got a lot going on this week, ups and downs, etc., etc. I'm headed to Orlando, so I'm going to start with a Florida story. Andrew Gillum won the Florida primary. He is a Democrat. He is going to be running for governor of Florida, first African-American candidate, very progressive, supported by Bernie. He's for universal health care, etc., etc., and seems like a good guy. So the race in Florida is going to be Andrew Gillum, the mayor of Tallahassee, supported by Bernie Sanders, going against Ron DeSantis, the Republican candidate supported by Trump. So it didn't take him long. Ron DeSantis, first day after Gillum was nominated, said, let's not monkey it up. You know, they don't even, like, there isn't even a dog whistle anymore on their racism. It's a bullhorn. It's a shout. You know, oh, I didn't mean anything by monkey. Knew exactly what he meant by monkey. We all know what he meant by monkey. They're still, you know, they're going to run on racism. That is their thing. That's what they run with. And it's going to be interesting. Florida's tough because Florida, the cities in Florida are progressive. The cities in Florida are populated by a large minority population, black, Latino, etc. Central Florida is red. Country Florida is very red. It's Trump territory. So I don't know how this is going to play out, but we can see that right from the start, DeSantis decided to aim low, and Gillum said, I'm not going to, you know, crawl into the swamp with Trump and a Trump supporter. Well, I don't know. You know, it's once again, the Democrats trying to take the high road. You know, it's a dirty, muddy fight. And I don't know. I wish him luck. There's going to be a lot of this election is going to be crazy, obviously, but we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping that DeSantis' comment backfired. I was on TYT today. I was on the Young Turks today. I love doing that show. And, you know, Cenk talked about it. And it is true. These techniques that they're using often backfire. So DeSantis rather, and maybe he did fire up his racist base, but you know what? He may have also fired up that minority base. That minority base might not be too happy about this, and they may be getting out to vote because of this. So keep up your racism. Keep firing up people who are anti-racist, people who, you know, fire up the... Remember, this is where the Parkland shooting was, and they have all the gun issues going on in Florida. And then you have just the crazy-ass part of Florida. So there's that. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. While I'm on the subject of supported by Donald Trump, and it's amazing how his whole cabinet, his whole organization, remember, yeah, I'm a drain the swamp, and I only hire the best people. Well, here's another one of his best people, Kathy Craninger. She's who he's picking for Director of Consumer Financial Protection, which is the office that is supposed to protect consumers from banks, from credit card scams, from predatory lenders, etc., etc., etc. Well, she has never done anything to qualify her for this job. It's almost amazing, but it's not really, because like Trump has never done anything to qualify him as being president. But anyway. She was approved by the Senate Banking Committee, obviously, because it's a Republican Senate, and she won by the narrowest of margins, 13 to 12. This is great. So, Judith Fox, a professor of consumer law at Notre Dame Law School, which is somebody who probably knows something about consumer protection, et cetera, et cetera. She said, Ms. Craninger has no qualifications for this job. No experience in consumer finance, consumer protection, or any relevant subject matter involved. That's amazing. She has never worked in consumer affairs, never worked in financial services, never worked as a financial regulator, never held public office, and never run a government agency. So basically, she's never done anything related to the job she's being given. That is incredible. That is like, you know, tomorrow you say, you know what, Alonzo? Why aren't you governor? I know you've never held office. I know you don't have any experience in politics. I know you've never really managed anything or run budgets or anything, but what the hell? You could be governor. Hey, listen, I'm in California. We did it with Arnold. I'm just saying that this, maybe Trump's just looking for people who won't turn on him, people who have zero experience and zero connection. Maybe they'll be loyal because Lord knows everyone else is flipping. Alan Weisselberg, who has handled the Trump family finances since, I guess, since the 70s, because he handled the finances for Trump's dad and Trump, yes, since the early 70s, he is flipping. He has been granted immunity in by the prosecution. He is tied in with Manafort and the Mueller investigation, obviously. And I'm sorry, tied in with Michael Cohen. Tied in with Cohen. Wrong criminal. This guy knows. This guy is the accountant. And like, man, I don't know if you ever saw The Untouchables, the story about Al Capone being brought down. The accountant was the key. The Al Capone's accountant, once he flipped the whole thing, this is that guy. This guy knows all the money. He knows all the checks that have been written. He knows all the secret accounts. He knows all the people who've been paid off. This is the Trump family money guy. This is the guy. And now he's gotten immunity. So if he starts talking, well, like Trump says, everybody's flipping. Flip here, flip there, flip everywhere, flip, flip. What's going to happen? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I was reading an article that talked about Trump resigning. And I think that is more likely than impeachment. I don't think that the Republicans would ever impeach Trump. But I think he may resign, especially when they get close to the money. And now it's the family money they're looking at. So, you know, in a perfect world, this would be prosecuted as some kind of RICO Act, ongoing criminal enterprise, and take all of their money. But that ain't going to happen. And I really don't think he's going to be impeached. But he may resign. I mean, he's obviously incompetent. The heat is rising. Every day, the heat is rising. Somebody else is getting convicted. Somebody else is getting immunity. Somebody else is testifying. Seemed like everybody at the White House is wearing a tape recorder. Just everybody. Everybody associated with Trump is wearing a tape recorder. Omarosa's taping. Cohen's taping. Bannon was taping. Everybody in there is taping. And they have to, because Trump is a rat. Trump will turn on you. So they know that. So they're like, hey, I'm going to cover my ass. I'm going to record anything this son of a bitch says to me. And it's coming up over and over and over. So this, you know, is this the end? I don't know. We still got a long ways to go, but it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. Speaking of not looking good, you know, this kind of thing is always funny to me. When you get one of these idiots who gets caught stealing money, improperly spending money, et cetera, et cetera, then they blame somebody else, and then they're like, oh, don't talk to that person. So we've got Duncan Hunter, a Republican, who was, let's see, him and his wife charged in 60 counts in a federal indictment, alleging they had probably spent some $250,000 in campaign contribution on vacations, meals, and personal items. These congressmen, they can't understand that that's not what the money's for. But they like to spend it. So he got caught. So when he got caught, he said to a Fox News reporter, and this is funny because it's almost like Fox is almost rolling over to the truth. Like more and more Fox reporters, and I'm going to talk later about another one who's one of their big names, but more and more of them are turning. Like Neil Cavuto has turned on Trump. I don't know if he's completely turned, but he definitely spoke up against Trump. And So this guy's talking to a Fox News reporter, and he talks about he's just going to throw his wife under the bus. She handled everything. She handled my finances throughout my entire military career, and that continued when I got into Congress. She was also the campaign manager. Whatever she did, that'll be looked at. But I didn't do it. I didn't spend any money illegally. It's a good husband, right? It's a good man. Hey, she did it. I don't know nothing. Back when I didn't have any money, she handled the money. Then I got money, she handled the money. I got campaign. So on and on, he says all of that, right? So he blames his wife. And then another reporter comes to him to ask about his wife. Leave my wife out of it. Leave my family out of it. It's me they're after. They're not after my wife. They want to take me down, blah, blah, blah. He was the one who brought up his wife. He was the one who said his wife handled everything. And then you ask about his wife. Leave her out of it. You know, crime should be left to criminals. You're not stupid people. Hey, you just, I don't feel sorry for him. He's an idiot. His wife, maybe his wife's involved, maybe she isn't, but she is now, okay? Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't, but she is now. When your husband, a congressman, says on TV, my wife did it, my wife did it, my wife did it, guess what? They're going to ask you, hey, did your wife do it? Moving on from the idiot administration to more real and tragic. I'm sure you heard there was a video game shooting last week. Two men, Elijah Clayton and Taylor Robertson. And it's Elijah Clayton is actually from an area close to where I live. So that's really too bad. He was 22. Taylor Robertson was 28. So these are young men. These are young men. And they went to play in a video game tournament, in a Madden tournament, and they were killed. 10 other people were shot. The shooter, a guy named David Katz from Baltimore, Maryland, don't know what, maybe he lost and decided he was going to shoot everybody. And that's it. Another mass shooting. So of course, Dana Loesch from the NRA comes out with her typical bullshit about, you know, if you're going to have gun-free zones, then you should have more security. But, you know, obviously, you know, if everyone at the video game tournament had a gun or something, who knows what bullshit she said. You would think that this would be one for the NRA because this was a shooting and it's sad, but it plays out like a joke that actually was caused by video games. I mean, they've been blaming video games for mass shootings since day one. This one was actually at a video game. So here we go again. Horrible and nothing, you know, nothing changes if nothing changes. Right, Jack? That's my friend Jack saying. And he's unfortunately, he's right every time. Nothing changes if nothing changes. So what happened? Some kids went to Florida to play in a video game tournament. Madden is big business. You win the Madden. One of these kids, I say kids, these men in their 20s, one of them had won $80,000 by winning a tournament previously, and this is one of the qualifying tournaments to go to the national tournament to play for big money. Whether you think of it or what you think of it, doesn't matter. This is reality. Video games are big business, and they're playing them, I guess, professionally. I guess at this point, you'd have to say it's professional because they're getting paid. But anyway, they went to do something they love. They went to have fun, and two dead, three dead, including the shooter who committed suicide, and 10 people shot. And as one guy said, his life has changed forever because he'll never take life for granted. He'll never be able to relax. I mean, imagine going to do your thing, you know, maybe even their favorite thing. I don't know, but definitely their thing. And now it's you've been shot and that's going to be in your head. I don't know if you're going to be able to, you know, enjoy your video games anymore or whatever. What the hell is wrong with us as a society? What the hell is wrong with us? Why do we accept this as normal? Why does it happen and 2 days later, not even mentioned, just another day? I don't know. Here's something that, and again, this is in the subject of, we're crazy, right? So we have, you know, another mass shooting in a video game. Now, what are we surprised about? What are we basically shocked about? A police officer was convicted of murder for killing a 15-year-old unarmed black kid. And we're surprised. How bad is that? We're surprised. You know you're surprised. You were surprised when you heard it, just like me. You had to hear it twice because it sounded wrong. Wait, convicted? But he shot an unarmed black kid. That's okay, right? That's what they do. We hear it over and over that the DA's not pressing charges, that they were acquitted by a grand jury, that blah, 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 that this, that, the other. There's usually a superhuman strength involved on the part of the black person who was shot and so on. Basically, what happened, there was a party. There were shots fired nearby, not at the party. The police were there, and supposedly everything was cool. Then when, obviously they hear shots fired, where the people start leaving. This kid, Jordan Edwards, was in a car with another guy. They were driving away. They were driving away. That's the key thing. They were driving away from the cop. But he took a rifle, he smashed the passenger window, he shot into the car, and it killed this kid. He tried to claim they were coming at me with the car. I was feared for my life, blah, blah, blah. But he was wearing a body camera. And again, none of this is new. Okay, none of this is new. We've seen all of this before where you're looking at the video and you see it's murder. You see a guy shot in the back running away. You see a guy shot with his hands up, et cetera, et cetera. But they actually looked at the evidence and said, yeah, you killed him. And he's been charged with murder. So found guilty of murder. Don't know what's going to happen. He's been sentenced to 15 years in prison. And it looks like it may happen, which is unfortunately amazing. But before you think we're doing too well, before you think we're doing good with this, do you remember Betty Jo Shelby? Betty Jo Shelby was the woman cop in Tulsa. And this one, we watched the whole thing on video from the helicopter. Just looked like a bad dude. Remember that? He looked like a bad dude. He looks like a bad guy down there. So a black man was approached by the cops. He's outside of his SUV. He had his hands up. He turned toward the door or reached the window of his SUV. One cop fired a taser, which is what you do, and the other cop killed him. The one who killed him, that was old Betty Jo. So Betty Jo was put on desk duty because that's the penalty for killing a black guy, and she didn't like it. So she went over to the next county and she got a job as a cop again, because that's what they do. When you hear they're fired, by the way, they're not out of law enforcement or anything. They just move around. They're kind of like the priests who abuse kids. How bad is that? That is a proper comparison. Jesus. Sorry, Jesus. Didn't mean to even bring you in on this. But anyway, she is now teaching a class the police officer, how to handle being victimized. Yeah, she used the word victimized. See, as a police officer, how to handle being victimized when you shoot and kill an innocent person. I don't know if it's just innocent black people. I think it's any innocent person. But maybe there's a side class. Maybe there's an extra class for when you kill a black one. And then there's like a different class for killing a Latino or something. I don't know. Yeah, she actually is making money teaching a class about victimization. The police officer who does the killing is the victim. And she calls it the Ferguson effect. Because, you know, you could be victimized by anti-police groups or tried in the court of public opinion, you know, because it was on video, you shot a man with his hands up. This shit is unreal. This shit is unreal. Of course, she was acquitted and blah, blah, blah. So she's going to make some money. She's going to get paid. I have to laugh. This is her quote. I faced many challenges that I was unprepared for, such as threats to my life and loss of pay. Oh, really? Because he's dead and his kids don't have a father. But you were unprepared. Yes, I'm laughing because this is bullshit on an unbelievable level. Hey, lady, why don't you go run for governor of Florida or some shit? What a piece of shit you are. How horrible are you? You killed a man and now, but you know what? I could make money teaching cops how to handle this. Because sometimes when you kill an innocent man, you might feel guilt. You might feel remorse. You might feel you did something wrong. I got to get you past that because there's money in killing these unarmed black folks. Yeah, there is no bottom. That's my saying. I've said it before and I'll say it again. There is no bottom. Shall I continue? Why not? You've heard the name Molly Tibbetts. Molly Tibbetts is like, I don't know, Nia Wilson, except Molly's white. So it's not like Nia Wilson. Nia Wilson is a black woman who was stabbed by a white man in a BART subway station in Oakland, racially motivated killing by a convict who's been in and out of jail, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody remembers her name. But Molly Tibbetts, the white woman. And Molly was killed by a Mexican, Cristiana Rivera, if I'm saying that correctly. He may or may not have been here legally. We don't know, but you better believe Trump and his supporters said he's an illegal alien. He killed a white woman. Build a wall, build a wall, build a wall, build a wall, blah, blah, blah. We've heard the narrative before. Molly Tibbetts' family ain't having it. I mean, they can't stop it, but they are not endorsing it at all. They spoke out. They said, stop using our daughter for your political gains. Her father, during the eulogy, he said, the Hispanic community are Iowans. This happened in Iowa. They have the same values as Iowans. And he said, as far as I'm concerned, they're Iowans with better food because he likes eating Mexican food. What the man is saying is that he doesn't want to give his daughter to this hateful political rhetoric. He doesn't want to give his daughter to this hateful racist rhetoric. He said his daughter was murdered, and that's the tragedy. And she could have been murdered by a white man or a black man or a Latino or anybody. The tragedy is his daughter was murdered. But of course, they're going to use this for political gain. Now, again, didn't hear any of them. And when I talk about them, I'm talking about Trump and his people. Didn't hear any of them when Nia Wilson got killed. Didn't it? You know who talked about it? Anne Hathaway, the actress, which was great because it took a white voice for white people to even hear her name. But black woman, innocent woman, doing nothing wrong. Stabbed repeatedly and killed in a train station. Now, if you're old enough, you remember the Willie Horton story. This white guy would have been Willie Horton. Willie Horton was a black man convicted of murder that the first President Bush used in his campaign. I'm pretty sure it was first Bush in his campaign about how, you know, terrible the streets were and how dangerous they are. You know, that subtext of black men are animals and blah, blah, blah. But had this been reversed, you know, people say, I love when people say, why is everything about race? Because it is. Okay, because it is. Because this is an example. So Molly Tibbetts, God rest her soul. And I'm sure she's a good person. I'm not knocking her. But see, she was white. So that's a national tragedy. But Nia was black. So, shit happens. I hope her killer doesn't start, you know, teaching classes, holding seminars on how to not feel because, well, he's not a cop, so he won't get to do that. We're better than this. You know, I did an interview and they talked to me about comics and why we are the way we are, why we talk about what we talk about, et cetera. And I truly believe this. Most comics are liberal and most comics are upset. And the reason we're upset is because we know we could do better. We as a society could do better. That fuels me. That fuels my cynicism. That fuels my outrage. I don't know if anger is the right word. It certainly is at times. I am not surprised that Trump is president because I travel America and I see how much anger there is, how much hate there is. I see how easy it is to I was on the Young Turks today. We were talking about this. Conservatives are always talking about liberal snowflakes and liberal crybabies. There is no one who will play victim quicker than a conservative. These old racist white men are like, oh, they're taking away everything from us. They're ruining our America, blah, blah, blah. Poor us. Pour me a load of tears. Shut up. But it works. Politically, it works. They've decided they are going to be the victims. They have decided that black people are out to kill police and the protests against police violence at a football games, protests against troops in America, a lot of America. Speaking of America, would someone tell the orange idiot the colors of the flag? I saw this on Twitter and I didn't even believe it, but it was true. The idiot visited a school, probably one of them schools run by Betsy DeVos, and the kids are coloring a flag and Trump colors in the stripes blue. Yeah, blue, you know. The red and white stripes on the flag, he colored one of them blue. It's one thing to not know the words to the national anthem that your mad football players don't stand up for, but to not know the colors of the flag? Really? Speaking of flags, and I'm jumping all over the place, but death, horrible. We lost some big ones this week. Aretha Franklin. The Queen of Soul that passed away. Neil Simon, unbelievable playwright, unbelievable writer. The Odd Couple and so many other plays and that became movies, etc., etc. Neil Simon died and John McCain, Congressman, Senator John McCain. What can you say about Aretha Franklin? What can you say about one of the true divas? Now, I know that the word diva is thrown around a lot. And a woman could have two hit records. She's a diva. No, Aretha Franklin was a diva. Aretha Franklin, I can't even say the voice of a generation. Aretha Franklin was the queen of soul. And there wasn't any debate about it. That voice, respect, yeah. Yeah, just generations influenced so many artists, so many beautiful things, sang for presidents. Yeah, Aretha Franklin. Donald Trump, true to his piece of shit-ism, when Barack Obama, of course, eloquent, beautiful tribute, and everybody else, but the idiot. I said, well, she worked for me because she sang at a casino he owned. What a piece of shit. I'm not even giving him any more than that. He's just garbage. But anyway, we lost Aretha Franklin and Neil Simon. Again, just genius playwright. At one point, had four plays on Broadway, which is unbelievable. I think he did that twice in his life. Definitely did it once. And then John McCain, a statesman, right? Old school statesman. Not perfect. Not perfect. He brought us Sarah Palin. Ugh, sorry about that one, John. And, I met him once, and I met him in Iraq. And again, I don't agree with all of his policies, but I respect who he is. The man was a prisoner of war who didn't leave before other prisoners left, even though he had the opportunity. He devoted his life to public service. He was in the Senate. And even if he didn't agree, he was civil. He was famous for telling one of his supporters that Barack Obama was not an Arab or a Muslim, but that Barack Obama was a good Christian man with a good family who they just happened to disagree on some ideas. And woe did the Republicans hate that. He fought Donald Trump on Donald Trump's relationships with Putin and Donald Trump's being an embarrassment to the office of the president. Donald Trump, true to his lowlife, childish, petty ass. When there was a military bill named after John McCain, when Trump signed it, he didn't mention John McCain's name. And he lowered the flag to half staff at the White House for like 15 minutes. you know, that was it. He was not invited to John McCain's funeral. It's very interesting. Like, even in death, John's, you know, kind of sticking it to him. So Trump and Palin were not invited to his funeral. What kind of asshole is not invited to a funeral? How, when you're a sitting president and a long-term senator dies and they're like, yeah, not you. What kind of asshole are you? Now, you know, Trump, he's a blowhard, blah, blah, blah. You know that fucks with him. You know that is like, son of a bitch. So he's made his petty, stupid comments. They deserve nothing. His daughter tweeted, you know, thoughts and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, really? Then why is the flag not lowered at the White House? You're part of the White House staff. Shut up, Ivanka. You feckless. Oh, wait, I'm not allowed to say that. So we lost some big ones this week. Oh, and on the subject of Trump, Tiger did it again. Tiger Woods asked about Trump, talks about you got to respect the office of the president. Guess what, Tiger? The president doesn't respect the office of the president. It bothers me. It bothers me because I almost came back to Tiger. I wanted to. Coming in second at the British Open, and he's playing golf again, and it's interesting again. He could have just said nothing. He could have said no comment. You know, they asked Tom Brady about his trainer and why his trainer travels with him, and Tom just basically said, oh, thank you, good to talk to you, and got up and walked away and said nothing. Tiger could have done that. But this bullshit about respect the office of the president, when the Tiger, wait, you embrace this guy? You embrace this guy, Tiger? Jesus. I don't know. It's a tough one for me. I love his golf. I can't stand who he is. I have to say, all the people who said he was a piece of shit over the cheating on his wife and all that, yeah, I guess you were right. I'm not even going to say I guess. I'm not going to qualify. You were right. Bad guy. Bad guy. No values. Nothing. Serena Williams. There are no words for how great this woman is. Woman's a superhero. How do we know? Well, last year in Paris, she played in a catsuit and looked like a superhero. She had the whole Wakanda thing going on. It was amazing. So, of course, the French Tennis Federation said that outfits like Williams' catsuit will not be accepted. So, of course, you know, she said, you know, when it comes to fashion, you don't want to be a repeat offender. She ain't wearing the same thing twice. She's Serena Williams. She'll bust out with something else. Nike said, we dressed her like a superhero because she is. French Tennis Federation, you lose. You cannot take on Serena Williams. Serena Williams is a beautiful, powerful, intelligent woman who happens to be the best tennis player in the world forever. Forever. You're worried about her wearing a catsuit? Nothing about wearing. What about the mini dresses? What? I don't even understand that. Women have been playing tennis in mini dresses. These women, you know, the butt pops out of the dress. They're wearing something under it, obviously. But they, what? Catsuit? Are you kidding? Have you left your house? Because women are wearing yoga pants everywhere. Everywhere. One more time. Everywhere. And it's a beautiful thing, ladies. I ain't complaining. I'm just saying the head of the French Tennis Federation is an asshole. That's all I'm saying. Why do I always have to end the damn podcast on a negative note? I'm sorry. I'm not going to make it negative. I'm not going to make it about him. I'm going to make it about Serena, who is a hero, who is a superwoman. If there's any woman that deserves to wear a superhero costume while they play, it's Serena Williams. So good for her. Good for Nike backing her up. Fantastic. It's a beautiful thing. Where am I headed? Next week, I'm going to be home. I'm going to be, well, local. I'm going to be in Ontario, California. Now, this happens all the time because they put Ontario, CA, and the Canadians like, you're coming to Canada. I wish I was. You know, I love you. But next week, the 7th, 8th, and 9th of September, I'm going to be in Ontario, California at the Improv. I do have the new CD. The new CD's out. Some of you have been listening to it. Thank you. It's called Man Overboard. It's available on iTunes and Amazon. It'll soon be available direct from me. I'm working on setting that up right now. I love you. Thank you for listening. Who who's paying attention? You are. I promise you, good news is on the horizon. You know why? Because the accountant flipped.